Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can all say, Amen. Let's try that again. We're not Baptists, but we are Lutherans. We could actually say it a little better. Amen. Amen. Our text is the text of Romans just read. And a caveat, I have been asked to keep this brief, so. How many of you have some obligations this week? How many of you aren't listening? I know I have some, and I am looking forward to having the week over on Friday. Many will be graduating, facing commencement of new lives. I have to say that I have nothing to complain about this week in terms of work, as any work professors generate is of their own making, but nonetheless required for the evaluation of students. Obligation sounds like the language of the law, and that would be right to say under normal circumstances, but this text does not occur under normal circumstances. Here we have a text that does not create an obligation, but rather relieves one. Or maybe better put, it takes the harsh burden of the obligation we have under the law because of our sin and replaces it with the easier, lighter, and better burden of doing good for a gracious Lord. Our debt to God for our sins has been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and we are freed from the iniquity of our sins. We have been paid for by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the cross, and he has established the validity of his word of payment and his act of death through the act of resurrection. Our debt, our obligation due to sin, is paid for and taken care of, as are the sins of the whole world. This frees us to the new, easier obligation of the good works of love. Paul says that it is an obligation which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So now that we know that we are believers, and I'm sure you knew that before, but it's good to be reminded, the question becomes, what now? Or as Francis Schaeffer put it, I know he's a Presbyterian, how shall we then live? Paul indicates that there is still an obligation in the life of the Christian, but it is not an obligation of debt to sin. Here there is a new kind of obligation that arises from our new standing as adopted sons and daughters of the Father. Here we have newness of life, and in this newness we find the work to be not a burden, but a blessing. Maybe while you're writing those term papers, you can ask the Lord, why do you love me so much? We emerge from the darkness and death of the sinful estate to the sprouts and buds of a new life, springing from that dead stump of our old nature. We now have an obligation to a new and good Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has shown us the benevolence of God, our Heavenly Father, and shown us the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, sometimes even we Lutherans have to bring him out on a day other than Pentecost and Trinity. Not only so, but we have a comforter, counselor, and guide who directs us in this new life, the Holy Spirit. As Jesus has told us, "Behold, I will send you another comforter, the Spirit of truth," through the very Word of God, brought to our minds under so many circumstances to guide us in the way of Christ's truth. The Spirit works with our own spirit to lead us in our lives and show us the walk of faith in Christ Jesus. And if us having a spirit and being led by the Spirit makes you uncomfortable, remember those are Paul's own words. His word and his lordship in our lives. We have no need to live in fear, and if we do fear, we should fear only one thing: displeasing our Lord and Savior. However, Jesus is gracious and is always glad to have everything we bring to him. Our enemies have been taken care of. The payment has been made. The ceremony of adoption is complete. And we are lords and ladies in the kingdom of God. Now in this life, we also suffer. I have to admit, the way we suffer around seminary is some suffering, but it's not like we're in a war zone in Ukraine. So maybe we should get real and just do our work and be done with it. Because although it may be somewhat bad, it's not terrible. But we do sometimes suffer as we await the putting off of our bodies and the emergence of the fullness of a new creation and its attendant promises. But we have many examples where suffering indicated a kind of spiritual maturity and the privilege of doing the things that our Lord has also already done for us. In other words, we also get to participate in that lordship by being under lords. We get to do, in small measure, some of the things that our Lord did. In Acts, we repeatedly hear that the disciples rejoiced, that they were worthy to suffer in the way their Lord had suffered before them. In Hebrews, we are encouraged to see suffering not as a punishment, but rather as a means of discipline that matures us and makes us better grounded. And we also hear elsewhere that the sufferings of this life are not to be compared to the joy we will eventually have in Christ Jesus. And so there may be many pressures this week. My recommendation is take the Nike example on your homework and just do it. But in all of this, we should remember that whatever odious tasks we face, they can all be sanctified and blessed by once again turning our burdens over to a benevolent Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. and being guided by the Spirit through the Word, transforming those burdens into privileges we get to participate in for God's kingdom and under His Lordship. He has died for us, He has risen for us, and now He gives us His work to do. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.